New heading, The Power of the Word. The reason that God is so concerned with our speech is that it has great power. Our words are capable of great good or great harm. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. If our tongues are submitted to the authority of God, they will bring life, both to others and to ourselves. If our tongues are restless, untamed, and rebellious, they will bring death. Let us now look at what Scripture teaches about the power of speech. We begin at the beginning, Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1:3. How did God create the world? It was through His Word. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33:6-9. When God speaks a word, He does not merely communicate information. The word of God is a word of power, effectively accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. Isaiah 55:11. When God speaks, things happen. After creating the light, God proceeded to express His authority over that which He had made by giving it a name. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Genesis 1:5. In Hebrew, as in English, one names an object by calling it something, by speaking of it or to it. In Hebrew, the expression "give a name," Genesis 2:20, is literally "call a name." God named the light day, the darkness night, the firmament heaven, the dry land earth, the water seas. Thus God expressed His authority by speaking words that defined the various elements of His creation and imprinting upon them their distinctive character. The making of human beings on the sixth day culminates the work of creation. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis 1:26. God created man and woman in His own image and likeness, that they would rule as His representatives over the earth. The first expression of humanity's unique nature and share in God's image and authority occurs later in chapter 2. "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field." Genesis 2:19-20. God had given man the capacity to speak, a gift given to no other animal, that man might participate in His divine nature and authority. Man's first act of governance was to call the names of the animals, thereby assuming his place as their rightful ruler. The power of speech is further emphasized in the narrative of the Tower of Babel, found in Genesis 11. Because the first family, back in the garden, had disobeyed God, the human race had now degenerated into pride, violence, and sexual immorality. But human beings still had a share in the divine image, Genesis 9:6, and still were capable of exercising a measure of authority, though not always for the good. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Genesis 11, 1-9. One of the greatest advantages that Homo sapiens have over other animal species is their complex system of social and cultural organization. At the heart of this system is the word, the subtle and adaptable method of communication unique to humans. The people of Babel, inflated by a pride and ambition tinged with insecurity, built a powerful city and a high tower, demonstrating the corporate mastery they still possessed as an inheritance from God. God's response to their enterprise is enlightening. Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Unity is in itself a good thing, but it can also serve dangerous and evil ends. The fallen human race had too much power in its hands, and so God stepped in and confused men's tongues, provoking disunity and frustrating the human attempt to gain total mastery. Witness again the power of the word. The power of words is again illustrated in the biblical understanding of blessing and cursing. Words of blessing and cursing in Scripture do not merely express benevolent hopes or malevolent wishes. Instead, they actually accomplish and ensure the very reward, good or evil, that they promise. That is, if they are pronounced by one in a position of proper authority, such as a father, a prophet, or some such. This explains the elaborate ruse conducted by Jacob in order to steal his father's blessing from his brother Esau. These are the words pronounced by Isaac over the one he mistakenly believed to be his eldest son. May peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Genesis 27:29. The words were spoken with power, and they could not be withdrawn, even though Jacob received the blessing under a false pretense. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Genesis 27:34-35. How did Isaac view the blessing he had just given to Jacob? Isaac had not merely wished Jacob well, but had delivered to him a tangible gift that could not be taken away. To Esau, Isaac said, "Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him." Genesis 27:37. The power of blessings and curses is revealed as well in the amusing story of Balak and Balaam. Balak, king of Moab, summoned Balaam, a non-Israelite prophet, in order to curse the people of Israel, who had just finished their desert wanderings and were about to conquer the land of Canaan. "Please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Numbers 22:6. 3 times Balaam attempted to curse Israel, and on all 3 occasions blessings flowed instead from his mouth. Of course, Balak was suitably infuriated, but he could not refute Balaam's argument. "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" Numbers 23:8. In fact, Balaam was only being intelligent. As Isaac's blessing said, anyone who cursed Israel would be cursed himself. Thus, Israel received the lavish blessing of this pagan prophet who had been summoned at the wish and expense of one of her enemies. The power of speech is vividly conveyed in Proverbs and Psalms, where the tongue or the words that issue from it are often described in terms borrowed from the language of physical warfare. The tongue is seen as a weapon that can destroy an enemy as effectively as a sword. Proverbs 12:18, 25:18. Psalm 55:21 and 64:3. A spear, Psalm 57:4, or an arrow, Proverbs 25:18, Psalm 57:4 and 64:1-4. The tongue can be a war club, Proverbs 25:18, a scorching fire, Proverbs 16:27, or a sharp razor, Psalm 52:1-4. One of the more lively images is found in Psalm 140:1-3. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. All this physical imagery is more than a poetic device. The ancient Israelites actually viewed words as having physical properties. Just as the world was created by a word, and blessings were spoken and conveyed by a word, so death and destruction could be contained in a word. This is illustrated in the main set of laws in the Tanakh, the Covenant Code, found in Exodus 20-23. In Exodus 21, we have the following two laws drawn up in parallel form. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death, Exodus 21:15. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death, Exodus 21:17. Why the parallel form? It indicates clearly that to curse someone damages them as much as a strike to the jaw. Smiting and cursing are not just metaphorically connected. They are each effective means of assault that can cause serious damage to another human being. The ultimate force and power active in creation is the Word of God. Just as the world was created by the power of God's Word, Psalm 33:6, so the natural order is sustained by the same power. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, Psalm 148:8. See also Psalm 147:15-20. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. Healing comes by the word of God. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 107:17-20. The word of God cuts through all human pretense and reveals the true attitude of the heart. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is the sword wielded by Yeshua and by his followers that can overcome any force attempting to resist it. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. Revelation 19:11-15. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Finally, as shown in the passage from Revelation 19, Yeshua himself is the word of God incarnate, the agent of creation, the one in whom all things hold together, the true revelation of the invisible Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-14. The power of the Word is nowhere more evident than in the Word of God. The vital power that undergirds the created universe and brings salvation to all those who receive it. The power of the Word of God is vastly greater than the power of the Word of man. Nonetheless, there is power in the Word of man, a power deriving from the creation of the human race in the image and likeness of God. Human beings attain mastery through their words. Their words have the power to heal or destroy, Proverbs 12:18, to give life or death, Proverbs 18:21. Speech can be a potent force for good or for evil. This fact can help us understand why God is so concerned about the way we use our tongues.